Thank you, Mr. Pair. The case is submitted. We'll hear argument next in number 9, Original United States against the State of Louisiana. Mr. Bruce, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, this case concerns the location of Mississippi's coastline and the extent of its seaward boundaries. During the course of my argument, I'll be referring to charts which are included in the amicus brief of the State of Alaska, as well as figure number 2 included in the report of the Special Master. Now, in the previous proceeding before this Court, we were all focusing on the question of whether Mississippi Sound constituted inland waters. We presented our case, and this Court agreed that it was inland waters and directed the Master to frame an appropriate decree. Now, in approaching that task, the Master was faced with a problem as he approached the western end of Mississippi Sound, in the area where Mississippi Sound meets the waters of Chandelier Sound to the south. Obvious solution to the problem was that a corner had to be drawn somewhere closing both of these areas of inland waters. The Master, however, felt constrained not to deal with an issue which appeared to be obvious in light of the Court's previous opinion, that is, necessary and obvious for establishing a coastline. Now, the Solicitor General's argument is confusing as to whether or not he is suggesting remand or that this case is at an end and that no further proceedings should be taken. He says this is a case about Mississippi Sound only and that it should be reserved for a supplemental decree. What we're asking the Court to do today is to remand this case with instructions to the Master so that he can deal with the coastline question in a logical manner and not feel foreclosed from recommending a proper decree in the case. If that's the Solicitor General's position, too, then we're all agreed on remand, and there's no issue for this Court to decide. However, if the government is arguing that the case is over, we contend that they are wrong. Mississippi Sound and Chandelier Sound to the south are inland waters, or at least this Court has characterized both.
I take it from the way you're pronouncing the word that Louisianans pronounce it Chandelier Sound, even though the last syllable is spelled L-E-U-R?
Yes, sir. Both of these bodies of water have been characterized by this Court as inland waters. In fact, in the last proceeding, the Court held that Mississippi Sound was, in fact, inland waters. The two sounds are at right angles to each other and are separated from one another by Cat Island, West Ship Island, and East Ship Island. And I think it's very important to note that Ship Island, in the past, has been a single island.
Is Mississippi Sound or not?
No, Your Honor. Basically, that was disposed of at our last proceeding before this Court. The question now is where the coastline should be located, that is, should take into consideration the inland waters of Chandelier Sound as well.
Chandelier Sound come into the case?
Well, because the Master, in his report, was attempting to delineate the coastline of Mississippi. In order to delineate the coastline of Mississippi, you have to determine the limits of inland waters.
Well, why didn't he consider it?
He felt that he was foreclosed by this Court's previous opinion.
You have to address our opinion then. Before Chandelier Sound is involved, you have to convince us the Master was wrong in construing our remand.
Well, we think, Your Honor...
Isn't that right?
I would agree, Your Honor. I think that...
Tell me why the Master was wrong in that regard.
Well, I think, first of all, in the opinion, the Court noted that this was a very narrow question involving only Mississippi Sound, or at least that's the way I read the very beginning of its opinion. The parties were much agreed that Chandelier Sound was inland waters. In fact, the United States has offered a concession to a part of Chandelier Sound as inland waters.
Which Mississippi rejected?
Yes, Your Honor, because we felt that the offer was less than what we were entitled to as a matter of law. And, of course, the question as to the status of Chandelier Sound was raised before the previous master and was presented to this court under the claim of a straight baseline. I think the problem that we had
is in this proceeding, when did the state first raise the Chandelier Sound issue?
Your Honor, that would have been back, I believe, in early 1983, prior to the time the master had submitted his previous recommendation. In fact, the master notes on page 24 of his opinion in his footnote that Mississippi did raise the question of the status of Chandelier Sound. In addition, we believe that there are other opinions of this court which have recognized Chandelier Sound as inland waters. If you go back to the 1906 decision of Louisiana versus Mississippi, the question there was the boundary between the state of Mississippi and the state of Louisiana. I think in that regard, it's interesting to look at what the parties were claiming and specifically what the court said about Chandelier Sound. In that case, of course, the state of Louisiana asked for a decree defining its boundary line as the Deepwater Channel. I think the language of that, which the court repeated, is important. Louisiana asked that the boundary extend through Mississippi Sound, north of Isle of Pete, through Cat Island Pass, southwest of Cat Island, through Chandelier Sound, northeast of Chandelier Islands to the Gulf of Mexico. Now, very clearly, the court was under the impression in that language, or at least Louisiana was under the impression, that the Gulf of Mexico began eastward of the Chandelier Islands.
Is that whether the master was right or wrong in saying that the remand was a narrow one, everybody agrees that you're going to have to finish up the case anyway. He's going to have to deal with Chandelier Sound sometime. Well, what about the accuracy of what he did?
Well, we think that there are some serious problems.
What did he? Well, right. That's
with the accuracy.
Isn't that the issue that we have before us? Was he right to the extent that he set the coastline?
No, Your Honor, he was not, and we submit that for several reasons. The first
reason.
Well,
it's one of the issues, isn't it? Was he right in setting the coastline to the extent that he set a coastline?
Well, yes, Your Honor, that would be one of the issues for the court to consider in deciding whether to affirm the report of the special master.
Yes.
And if
and you object to what he did. You say the master was wrong.
We do, Your Honor. First of all,
you're going to argue that, I suppose.
Yes, Your Honor. There were a number of things that we object to about the special master's report. And, of course, this statement from Louisiana versus Mississippi is an early legal precedent, we believe, that shows that he is wrong. The court, in its final decree in that case, interestingly enough, attached a map and made it a part of the decree. And if you look at that map, you'll find that the boundary line which the court delineated runs into Chandelier Sound. In fact, it runs off the paper because all of Chandelier Sound was not shown. In addition, the court, commenting on what Louisiana had argued, made it very clear as to where Chandelier Sound began and ended and where the Gulf of Mexico began and ended. The court said, to get into the open water of the Gulf of Mexico beyond Chandelier Islands and around the western boundary of Louisiana, it is necessary to follow, as Louisiana contends, the deep water channel through Mississippi Sound and thence by the pass between Cat Island and Isle of Pete north of the Chandelier Islands into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, I think it would be very difficult to read that language.
Between Cat Island and Isle of Pete?
Yes, sir. North of the Chandelier Islands into the Gulf of Mexico. So the court seems to very clearly and expressly have stated its opinion that the Gulf of Mexico began beyond the Chandelier Islands, the northern part of the Chandelier Islands. The master's report.
Was that question squarely involved in that case? You know, a court will write an opinion, and it'll be focusing on one point. and it may say casually, to get from here into the Gulf of Mexico, without really thinking it's saying anything other than kind of descriptive language about where the Gulf of Mexico starts.
I think that could be an argument that would be made to oppose this. However, the issue presented to the court was the location of the boundary between Mississippi and Louisiana. And, of course, the court found that the boundary of Louisiana went all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. So in order to resolve that, the court would have had to have decided where the Gulf of Mexico began. So I think it could be argued that way, but I would think that the it was material to the determination of the issue, and that it was the lateral boundary between the two states. The other problem, one of the other problems that we find with the master's report, and that is that the recommendation, if accepted, would divest Mississippi of approximately 150 square miles of territory which the United States has been recognizing for the most part of this century, and in which the United States at this point has been willing to offer a partial concession. In 1965, in the Louisiana case, California attempted to analogize Santa Barbara Channel to Chandelier Sound, and the United States was very quick to respond, these are really two different cases. Chandelier Sound, which we recognize as inland waters, and then it went on with its, to contrast the two. The court picked up on that in a footnote and said, something to the effect, Chandelier Sound, which the United States claims as inland waters. So this court has been confronted with that. The United States has in the past acknowledged that at least part of Chandelier Sound was inland waters. And, of course, in the 1981 final decree in Louisiana versus Mississippi, the whole decree seems to be premised upon the fact that there is a lateral boundary between Mississippi and Louisiana. If Chandelier Sound is not inland waters, I submit there is no lateral boundary, and that the decree lacks definiteness and creates a real problem.
Let me ask you a question, if I may, about the map, which I think is, it's the one in Alaska's amicus brief. It seems odd in a way that we should be relying on a map which is found only in the amicus brief. But
from Alaska.
take a look at where it shows Chandelier Sound. And then on the left, all that land, is that mainland Louisiana?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. And that was decided, of course, in Louisiana versus Mississippi in 1906 as well. The court held that was the mainland of Louisiana. Isle of Pete is the furthest extension of the Louisiana mainland.
Thank you.
In addition to that, those problems, we feel that the master confused the terms boundary and coastline. Of course, the two are distinct. The boundary is located 3 miles seaward of the coastline being defined as the limit of inland waters and the low water mark along that part of the coast in direct contact with the open sea. Now, by confusing the terms, the master not only deprived Mississippi of the claims of Chandelier Sound to inland waters, but at the same time took away all of Mississippi's territorial sea all along its coastal front. Another problem that has been raised is the treatment of the...
Mr. Bruce, could I ask you a question?
Yes, Your Honor.
About the map, too? As I understand it, the lines that are marked 3 from Petit Bois to East Ship Island, that's not in dispute, right?
No, Your Honor.
They're not.
That is not.
And how about the lines marked 7 from West Ship Island down to the Isle of Pete? Are they, and that's what the master proposed, and you dispute that, is that right?
That's right, Your Honor. We submit that the proper closing line should have been the line marked 6 from East Ship Island down to the northern tip of the ship.
And there, and from that point, how do you get from there to Isle of Petre? How do you get from that? What do you think the master should have done? I understand that line, 6, is the one you contend for, but that doesn't close anything if you just go down there. Where would you go to the west from that line, under your view?
From the eastern tip of Ship Island, we would have closed that down to the Chandelier Islands.
I understand that. But then what do you do once you get to the eastern tip of Chandelier Island? You don't claim all of Chandelier Sound, do you?
Oh, no, Your Honor.
But I'm asking you, where do you go from there, under your view of the case?
Mississippi would be entitled only to that area north of its lateral boundary with Louisiana.
Well, but Justice Stevens is asking about a line that comes down, six goes down from East Ship Island to the northernmost of the Chandelier Islands, and then where does the line go as it goes westward from there?
I see. Your Honor, the line would continue south around the outer extremity of the Chandelier Islands, continue on south, and then close across an area which is not shown on this map. Chandelier Islands, the United States has drawn a closing line for its agreement with Louisiana down to the Mississippi Delta.
And you would then contend that all of Chandelier Sound that's shown on this map is part of Mississippi?
No, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. Just that part of Chandelier Sound north of the lateral boundary separating Mississippi and Louisiana.
In other words, north of line number one?
No, that would be north of line number five, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
I'm still questioning, how do you get from the northern tip of Chandelier Islands to the line number five? I still don't understand.
Okay. Your Honor, I'm not sure I understand.
I have not been able to understand. I understand you think the line should begin at Pettibois Island, go to East Ship Island, go south to the northern tip of Chandelier Islands.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then where does it go?
The coastline would follow the outer fringe of the Chandelier Islands.
All right, get down
to the
south,
Mississippi Delta.
All right, down to the south tip of Chandelier Islands.
Yes, sir.
Whose coastline? But that's not Mississippi's coastline.
No, Your Honor, that would not be.
Well, what he's asking is, where is Mississippi's coastline? I think what you would do is you would head west from the point where line 6 intersects with the dotted line 5. Isn't that where you think the boundary of Mississippi is?
Yes, Your Honor. Basically, you would use the closing line down to the lateral boundary and follow the lateral boundary.
Down over to 1.
That's correct.
You would close Chandelier Sound from the south end of Chandelier Islands over to the Delta.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then Chandelier Sound is divided between Mississippi and Louisiana.
The northern part of it would be, yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm.
And what about the southern part of Chandelier South? Is that all Mississippi?
No, that's Louisiana.
No, Your Honor. That would the southern part of Chandelier Sound and Breton Sounds, which have also been recognized as inland waters, would belong to Louisiana. There's no question about that. Yes, Your Honor.
So what's in dispute, then, is the area to the west of Line 6 and north of Line 5 and 1 and south of Cat Island and West Ship Island.
Yes, Your Honor.
That area is in dispute. Now, do you think the master has decided what state that water is in?
Well, I don't think that he's decided what state it's in. I think he's decided what it's not in.
Do you think he has decided it's not in? He hasn't
yes.
just said for the purpose of this case, the border shall be, what he's drawn. You don't think it's open to you to relitigate in a new proceeding what the status of that water is?
It appears from what the master said that he was fixing our boundary. And as that term is used and the term coastline is used, that would limit the state as to how far it could go. And he makes the coastline go between the islands, does not even give us a 3-mile limit. So that leaves a long finger of land in there, which we estimate to be somewhere around 150 square miles, that would be lost to Mississippi. That does create some problems.
It's a long finger of water that you contend is land. Isn't that all water?
I'm sorry. Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. Okay.
The problems that this would raise also under the decree, the 1981 decree in Louisiana, the Louisiana case, the court awarded to Louisiana all of the land west of the closing line to Chandelier Sound, subject to the location of the lateral boundary.
Let me ask you another question, if I may, because I'm finally getting this. You did argue before the master. It's referred to, I think, at footnote 15. Isn't that the one?
Yes, Your Honor.
That this particular area should have been part of your state, Mississippi.
Yes,
the master rejected that, and you did not file an exception to that holding of the master, and we affirmed. And so isn't the law the case that you are not entitled to this because it was raised and was rejected before the master on a prior appeal?
I suppose the court could view it that way. We did file an exception, that is, that Mississippi Sound and Chandelier Sound were inland waters by virtue of the Strait baseline. The court did not address that particular issue, limiting itself to the historic bay claim. It did not address the juridical bay claim, which the master raised, said that it was not necessary, and decided the case on historic bay. Along with that, of course, we felt that with the case law, with the statements by the United States over a long period of time that there was no dispute that, to the fact that Mississippi Sound was inland. I'm sorry, the Chandelier Sound was inland waters, and the only question we had to decide was the closing line between the two. As I say, in the previous proceeding, we were focusing more on the question of those enclaves of high seas inside Mississippi Sound. That was the thing that took most of the attention. What we're asking the court to do in this case is remand to the master so that he can consider and determine the status of Chandelier Sound as inland waters and recommend an appropriate decree to the court. In this respect, we specifically request that he be directed to consider evidence of the use of straight baselines by the United States for delimiting Chandelier Sound and the applicability of Article 4 of the Geneva Convention on the territorial sea.
Well, if you lose on that, you can still bring another original action, can't you?
Your Honor, we would feel that if we lost after being referred back to the master, that another original action would not be permissible. And furthermore, we think that a referral back to the master at this time would not only be saving in time, and this area, of course, is an area that people are very much interested in because of the oil and gas leasing activity. And we would certainly
I can understand your second point, not your first.
All right, Your Honor.
If the master chooses not to act on Chandelier Sound, how have you lost as of this point?
If the master...
I think Justice Blackmun is asking if you lost on that point here, not if you lost after it's referred back to the master. If we choose not to refer it back to the master, you can bring another original action, can't you?
I think that would be questionable as to whether we could or not. Certainly, if we did, I think we'd be faced with the same problem that we have with this master, that he would be reluctant to entertain something that he feels the court has already viewed and passed on. And that I think that's the real problem we have with the master's report. He did not consider the evidence of straight baseline use, the long history of claims by the United States, because he felt this court, in its last opinion, had precluded him from making such findings. He said, in view of the court's previous opinion, the only way this can be inland waters is by agreement or if the United States subsequently uses a system of straight baselines. So I think the master would be reluctant to entertain a further action. He would feel that if this court had the opportunity and did not reverse, it would be...
Well, he certainly would do it if we asked him to.
Your Honor?
He certainly would do it if we asked him to.
He certainly would.
May I ask another question with the map, because I'm intrigued by this now. The Louisiana boundary is 1 and 5, and then it goes down to what was at one time in the northern tip of Chandelier Islands, which I guess have actually been moved a little bit to the east, 0.4. What possible, and that would suggest to me that the inland waters, the boundary of the inland waters are between, under that view of the case, from West Ship Island to the northern tip, or the former northern tip of Chandelier Islands. What is the possible justification for claiming the area between points 5 and 6, or lines 5 and 6?
I mean, why would Mississippi be entitled to anything greater than what the United States has offered?
No. Why would that be? That's greater than the inland waters as defined in the Louisiana, in the Louisiana border boundary, is it not? What is the eastern term? What is the – isn't the – Is it not true that the Louisiana boundary goes line 1, line 5, to the intersection with the line descending from West Ship Island?
Yes, Your Honor.
I know. Why would one treat anything east of West Ship Island and the northern point of Chandelier Islands as inland waters?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that we have evidence. Of course, the decision in Louisiana versus Mississippi would tend to support that. That this area has also been included as part of Chandelier Sound, and that Chandelier Sound in its entirety is inland waters. Now, the question you may be asking, and that is, isn't it unusual to have a dogleg, so to speak, with having the boundary drop back? It's not unheard of. In fact, Congress fully anticipated that when they passed the Submerged Lands Act. Florida has a 3-league boundary. Mississippi and Alabama have a 3-mile boundary. So does Louisiana. Texas has a three-league boundary. So the coastline, as you're going from Florida to Alabama, drops in roughly 7 miles. Florida and Texas have seven more miles of territorial sea than do the states in between. So this is not unusual, and Congress certainly made that a possibility.
Mr. Bruce, could I ask you a question concerning figure 2 in the Alaska brief, not
yes,
figure
Your Honor.
1? Am I correct in understanding that if the United States prevails here, there is that strange indentation along the Louisiana line well toward Cat Island? Is that a correct conclusion?
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, it would go all the way to Cat Island. The line that's shown as a three-mile territorial sea, the court would have to reject the master's recommendation as to the boundary before Mississippi would even get the 3 miles from its mainland. In other words, if the master's report were accepted, all of that line, which has Mississippi X, all of that line over to the pass between Cat Island and Isle of Pete, north to the barrier islands and the lines connecting those, would be in question. The question is whether it would be inland waters of the state of Louisiana, whether it would be high seas, whether it would be territorial seas of Mississippi partially, or whether it would be partially territorial seas of Louisiana. It would create a jurisdictional nightmare.
But certainly, on its face, is a seemingly strange result, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor, it does. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve the time I have left for response.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. We'll hear now from you, Mr. Muneer.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, the United States urges that this Court reject Mississippi's exceptions and approve the Special Master's report. I would like to begin by stating the procedural context of this present case. Alabama and Mississippi commenced this proceeding in 1979 to define the state's coastline for purposes of the Submerged Lands Act. Mississippi specifically alleged, and I quote, "the chain of islands extending from Petit Bois Island to Cat Island and forming the southernmost boundary of the state of Mississippi does in fact constitute the seaward limit of inland waters and is the coastline of Mississippi for purposes of the Submerged Lands Act," closed quote. This appears at page 3 of the motion, paragraph 12. That statement defined what this case was all about. And if that wasn't enough, there are a number of other statements that Mississippi has made along the way. In the motion supporting, or the memorandum supporting that motion, at page 29, they said, and I quote, "Therefore, we submit that the barrier islands enclosing the Mississippi Sound represents the outer limit of inland waters for the purposes of the Submerged Lands Act. And Mississippi is entitled to have this court designate its coastline as extending from the line of ordinary low watermark on the seaward side of such islands, a distance of 3 geographic miles into the Gulf of Mexico."
Mississippi Sound was not a... It was not a juridical or a
That's
historic
correct.
Bay.
That is correct.
That was the issue.
Yes, we
and
said
the master and this court found for the states.
That is exactly right, Your Honor.
And so that Mississippi's southern boundary were those islands.
That is correct, Your Honor. And in fact, the master's 1984 report was quite clear on this. Quote, "The sole issue raised by these motions is whether the coastlines of Mississippi and Alabama are the line of ordinary low water mark along the southern mainland and along certain islands adjacent thereto, or whether the waters of Mississippi Sound are inland waters, and those coastlines are therefore the line of ordinary low water along the southern shore of those islands, together with the line marking the seaward limit of those waters," close quote. That appears at page 2 of the Special Master's report. This court noticed this same point as well in its opinion at page 470 U.S. 96, quote, "The two states, Alabama and Mississippi, contend that the whole of Mississippi Sound constitutes inland waters. Under this view, the coastline of the states consists of the lines of ordinary low water along the southern coast of the barrier islands," close quote. That we submit is what
this
is.
Then they're entitled to 3 miles beyond that.
That is right, Your Honor. And there's no dispute. The master's report seems to have misused the word boundary for coastline in its conclusion. There's no dispute of the right to the
But our remand, our most recent remand, was just for the purpose of actually defining that line drawn along. Where did the line run along those islands?
That is exactly right, Your Honor. And we submit that that is what this case is all about. Now, the master we have...
Well, now, what if they are right at bottom that Chandelier Sound is also inland water? Now, if that position is ultimately correct, what does that do to the line up there around the Mississippi-Louisiana line? It gets very peculiar.
Your Honor, no. We would submit, the United States submits, if there was a determination that Chandelier Island is inland water, and we further submit there has been no such determination.
You mean Chandelier Sound.
Chandelier Sound, excuse right. me, is inland water.
Then what happens?
And the proper line we would submit would be the line indicated in the Alaska map, line 5.
Which, the first map?
This would be the first map
Figure one.
Of Alaska. And this line, which we have offered as a settlement of this case, would in fact ensure a continuous coastline between Mississippi and Louisiana. It would simply be an extension of the stipulation that we made with the state of Louisiana in 1974. And I should note that in that stipulation, we were absolutely clear that we were not conceding that Chandelier Sound was inland water. And this court noted that that concession...
What did you do? Did you make that southern, that part of Chandelier Sound below the line? Did you recognize that as Louisiana waters?
What our stipulation said, and this appears in the Special Master's 1970 report at A2, is that we would stipulate that Louisiana would be entitled to use Chandelier, or would be its rights under the Submerged Lands Act would be recognized in Chandelier Sound without an admission on our part that these are inland waters for international purposes.
Well, where did that southern line close? From the southern end of Chandelier Island over to where?
The Louisiana limits in these cases, it would have been, or it was, in fact, an extension of the line that marks the Mississippi-Louisiana boundary to line 5, which then extends southerly to the northern tip of Chandelier Island. So, in fact, what we have offered to Mississippi, in which
lines
they have,
5 and 6 diverge there. Are there two different little islands there? Is that the problem?
No, Your Honor. Actually, the difference here is there's been some movement of the entire chain of islands as a result of simply accretions and relictions.
You're saying, Mr. Muneer, that the government has offered to agree that the Mississippi boundary would be a line running from point 1 to point 2 on figure 1?
Yes. We've agreed to recognize. This is the lateral boundary between Mississippi and Louisiana. And as far as any, we don't believe there's any dispute between Mississippi and Louisiana to the extension of that line. But wherever that line might be extended, we would then say that the line demarking the rights of Mississippi and Louisiana would be line 5 to West Ship Island. Now, this has already been agreed to on the portion below the lateral boundary, the southerly of the lateral boundary.
But you don't concede anything about the nature of Chandelier Sound.
No, not as inland water. We're only willing to recognize.
And as long as Mississippi doesn't accept it, you say that the limit of her authority in the Submerged Land Act is 3 miles outside of those barrier islands.
Exactly the relief that they request.
And if they want to start another action, you say let them start it.
That is correct, Your Honor. That is our position.
Would it be more efficient to go ahead and remand now and let the thing be resolved?
No, Your Honor, I do not think so.
Why not?
For the reason that, as you know, original actions are proceeded at a snail's pace. And it's very important at the outset to define what the purpose of the original action is. Now, if we simply remand here, we might be remanding for another 5 years of litigation. I think it's important for Mississippi to file a motion for leave for a further supplemental decree in this case to specify exactly what their claims are and what their theories are so this court can make the appropriate reference. Mississippi's position, as you can tell, has been moving throughout this litigation. I think it's important for them to specify to this court exactly what relief they're asking.
And well, shown on the map what they want. Why are we in doubt? They've made a claim. You can see the lines right here.
Your Honor, part of the question here, too, are the theories that they're raising. Now, they're also claiming that this is all let me step back for just a second to answer your question, Your Honor. The actual exceptions that Mississippi has filed here is not asked for a remand to determine the status of Chandelier Sound. They have asked for an order from this court declaring that Chandelier Sound is inland waters and directing the master to draw the appropriate line. Now, that matter still remains
to be contested. Well, yes, but I heard Mr. Bruce say this afternoon what they ask for as a remand.
Yes, Your Honor, but we have, this is not what they requested when they filed their brief and we filed our brief in response. I think that we are entitled, the United States is entitled to submit a response if they wish to further proceedings to make clear exactly what will be litigated here and on what theories. Now, some of the theories that they have advanced have, in fact, already been rejected by the special master. The question of straight baselines, everything that was to be said about straight baselines was said by Louisiana in the 1974 proceeding. The special master rejected all those arguments, and this court affirmed the special master's report. So I think it's important that in further litigation in this case, that we be clear about exactly what our theories are and where we're going from here.
To Louisiana, by the way, on that settlement?
Your Honor, I'm afraid I don't understand your question.
You haven't conceded that you haven't conceded that legally Louisiana is entitled to what you've agreed to recognize.
Yes, that's right, Your Honor. And as far as that concession goes, I'm sure that Louisiana would want to hold us to the practical effect of the stipulation we entered into with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I suppose if there were further litigation and you won on the law that Mississippi wasn't entitled to any part of Chandelier Sound, that then Louisiana would just have a better deal in Chandelier Sound than Mississippi. That's all.
That's right, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. May I ask you a couple of questions?
Yes, Your Honor.
First of all, if we were to affirm outright just the master's report and overrule the exceptions, would not the United States be in a position to argue that the boundary has been fixed in this proceeding and is no longer open to litigate the status of the water area immediately south of the line between Cat Island and West Ship Island?
Yes, Your Honor, the United States would be in a position to make that argument. The Solicitor General has not made a determination whether he would make the argument.
And is it not true that there has not yet been a judicial determination as to whether Chandelier Sound is or is not inland waters?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So is it not also true that there is a possibility that if we knew all the answers to these questions, that it is inland waters, and B, if it is, the line really would be incorrect if we simply affirmed? Because if it's inland waters, Mississippi presumably is entitled to the portion north of the Louisiana border, isn't it?
Your Honor, if there's a problem in that regard, it stems from Mississippi's original allegation.
Maybe that's right. I mean, I'm just saying,
yes.
Maybe they goofed up procedurally and they may have to stand by what they allege. You may be dead right,
yes.
You may win. I'm just asking you, is that not a possible consequence?
Would be a possibility.
And if I were, as a member of this court, concerned about that and wanted to protect their right to proceed, what is the best way to do it? Make clear to the master that the line isn't final for that purpose, or to go ahead and remand it?
Your Honor, I think that what this court should do is simply accept the special master's report and tell him to go forward and draw the line. Mississippi will then have several options. One, it can ask for relief prior to the formulation of the decree to this court, specifying exactly asking for an expansion of the reference to the special master. If it does not wish to do that and waits until the decree is entered, it can file a motion for entry of an additional supplemental decree.
Well, it seemed easier to me, frankly, either to remand it or to say the line isn't final.
The problem, again, Your Honor, with a remand is that we'll be giving, the master will have a true lack of direction in terms of the reference. Normally, a case is referred to the master based on the submission of the party. In this case, it was the motion by Mississippi for the entry of a supplemental decree. They stated what their position was, and they certainly had plenty of time to determine what their position might be. Mississippi became a state in 1817. There's 160 years there in which they could make some conclusions about what their southern boundary is. In addition, they had 5 years prior to the entry of the master's, or the preparation of the master's special report. If there are difficulties here for Mississippi, they're primarily difficulties of their own making.
After you've lost a case, you move to amend your complaint.
Yes, except here Mississippi is moving, would need to move to amend their complaint after they won the case.
They won the case. They want to win some more.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's exactly the situation we're faced with here. In sum, the court should approve.
It would seem to me it is not at all impossible that one would conclude that Chandelier Sound is not inland waters. It's not an open and shut
Change. That is absolutely correct, Your Honor.
If that were true, they wouldn't get anything more, and Louisiana might end up with at least a doubtful claim as to when you're talking about their boundary.
Yes, that is right, Your Honor.
Is it a factor also that if this proceeding is expanded, Louisiana would have a rather large stake in it, I take it? Would they want to get in on the fund?
I'm sure that they would be interested in participating at least as amicus in this case.
The Sound and just rely on your agreement.
I'm sure that is the case as well, Your Honor. So as you can see, as your questions indicate, that if there's a further remand here, we are talking about an extensive further litigation, and without any clear guidance as what the absolute scope of that litigation might be.
This litigation, was it, U.S. against Louisiana?
Yes. The actual litigation for the concern.
How long has this special master been working on it?
I think this master has been approaching 20 years, Your Honor.
Maybe he better get a colleague with him if the
his son. Maybe.
It might well be that the special master is quite willing to be absolved from his responsibilities in this case. I simply do not know.
Maybe we don't want to bring in a newcomer in this problem either.
Your Honor, unless you have some further questions, I have nothing further to say.
How do we get in this mess?
I can't think of any other.
Thank you, Mr. Manera. Mr. Bruce, you have 4 minutes remaining.
Your Honor, first of all, I'd like to address Justice O'Connor's question about whether there are two islands on the map at the northern tip of the Chandeliers. The point at which the United States line stops is not a point on land. It's a point out in the middle of the water. The point shown for Line 6, where Mississippi's line ends, is the northernmost of the Chandelier Islands. It is a landward point, and that was one of the reasons why we thought that was a more appropriate line.
Could I ask you, when did you find out about the agreement that the United States had made with Louisiana with respect to Chandelier Sound?
When I personally...
Mississippi, the state of Mississippi.
I presume that sometime about the time that the decree was entered in 1975. I have no knowledge that Mississippi was aware of it prior to that time.
And when did this case begin? I mean, this phase of the case?
This case was filed in 1979.
79, and yet you framed your case, you focused the case strictly on Mississippi Sound.
Well, Your Honor, that is true.
You claimed that your line was those barrier islands.
Initially, the...
Isn't that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And despite the fact that you knew the United States had made a deal with Louisiana, recognizing Louisiana's right to some portion of Chandelier Sound.
Well, I think that's probably giving us more credit than we deserve. I don't think anybody would recognize that, or they certainly wouldn't have drafted the motion.
I would think impressive.
That's correct, Your Honor. Once that error was discovered, we did...
What error?
The question there as to where the line should be, and that is, should it go along the islands, or should it be a closing line across Chandelier Sound? That issue was presented to the master.
Just on this latest remand?
No, Your Honor. This was presented to the master prior to his original recommendation. This was presented to him
in brief form back in 1983. Wasn't in your complaint.
No, Your Honor.
When did you first put it in the case?
It would have been in the early part of 1983. The master makes note of the fact that we did raise that issue as to the status of Chandelier Sound as well in one of his footnotes.
In this report or in the prior?
In this report, I believe it's on page 24. In his footnote, he indicates that Mississippi did raise that question.
But it hadn't been raised at the time we last remanded to the special master.
Well, not at the time that you referred the matter to him originally. That's correct. There has been no remand in this case except...
Of the original submission to him.
That's correct, Your Honor. So far as the lateral boundary with Louisiana, I might point out that boundary has not been fixed or established beyond the point at which this court's decree ended in 1906. So there is a question as to exactly where that would be located. With respect to how long it would take this case, Mr. Manera notes that he would expect 5 years. I think that would be a very lengthy period of time in view of the documentation and in view of the case authorities which we have to support a case before the master. Once the case was presented after some preliminary negotiations, it took approximately 10 months to get the case ready for submission to the master. And I think that on a remand that we could probably wrap this case up in a year's time. I do not anticipate it would take longer than that. The master is intimately familiar with the geography of the area. He's been involved in these sort of cases for, as Mr. Muneer says, 20 years. He has written the reports before, and I think that he could very well handle this matter without unnecessary delay. I think if we have a new master, the new master would have the problem of having to become familiar with perhaps a whole new area of law which he might not have been familiar with before. And I think that is one of the real advantages of remand.
Mr. Bruce, do you understand the government's settlement offer to be still open?
No, Your Honor, I do not. They're asking that the master be affirmed. In that respect, I do not understand it to be still open. Mm-hmm. There have been negotiations back and forth with the United States, and we have been unable to reach any kind of agreement, although at one point we thought we had.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. The case is submitted.
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until tomorrow at 10 o'clock.